There we go. Oh, it's got a little bit of energy in it, that theme tune this morning.
It has. Oh, it just has. If you have, I've got my lips already. I'm standing by. Oh, yes.
Raring to go, raring to go. Second week in January 2022. I have to say, Judith,
What?
Development-wise, on the back of my neck, scar-wise. Yes. It's non-existent. It's actually really disappointing because I got Jeff to take the dressing off finally because I think I sort of left it dressed for a bit too long because I was really scared.
I would be a little bit. Oh no, I don't think I want to.
Yeah, I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to touch it. I didn't want to knock it. I didn't want to sort of. I didn't know whether there'd be a big scab over it. I didn't know whether that I might nudge that and all that, and it might fall off like a complete tortoise shell, something like that, and I could maybe mount it on the wall. But
Tracy Emin would, wouldn't she?
Absolutely. She'd do it in a relief, and then she'd cast it in bronze. But so Jeff, I sat in the bath and, you know, so my pores opened, hot bath, and I got Jeff to peel everything off, including the steri strips. I said, well, take a photo. And honestly, it's non-existent.
It looks like... Well, you put it on the notice board. It's absolutely remarkable.
Well, it looks like I made the whole thing up. It really does. Honestly, I wouldn't believe me. It was just, if you enlarge it, there's a very fine line.
Oh, we have. We've all enlarged
it,
Jenny.
It's like a sewing bee special. It really is.
I mean, extraordinary.
I feel like sending it to Patrick and Esme and go, look at this seam. Look at it. It's non-existent.
But wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. I'm a little bit confused here because you put a picture on the notice board right at the beginning, didn't you, when you just came back from hospital, of the scar. So then did they dress it after that then?
Well, I had a dressing. I was sent home with dressings. I mean, you know, I've got a whole box of shit now, which is all operation related. And think, well, I better keep it just in case.
Oh,
it was all
very
swabbings
sensible.
And dressings. And, you know, I've still got one laxative syringe just in case.
I might need that.
I might wrap it in cotton wool and send it to you if ever you need it. And just remember, it's for orals and not anals. It's
indeed
in the mouth.
Yeah.
And, so, I was told to put these big dressings on, waterproof dressings, so that I could sort of have showers and baths but not get it wet until the stitches dissolved.
Those funny little sticky things, those have dissolved now, so it's all off.
Off. Steri-stripped, and then everything's all off now.
It's incredible.
It's open to the elements. The skin is a little bit puckered and chickeny, I have to say, as if it's sort of been under wraps for a bit too long. Doesn't feel particularly healthy. It's slightly itchy, and that's healing, isn't it?
Good sign.
It's a good
sign.
That's what my physio says. Because obviously, you know, since the arm is much, much better, although still got cold sausage fingers.
I'm so pleased.
Yes. But if I hold anything in my left hand for very long, I just drop it. I drop everything. I've broken many things.
You're lifting kettles, you're lifting...
I'm lifting, yes. Yeah. I can't lift myself. There was once upon a time I used to be able to do a yoga move where I could just be on one arm. I can't do that anymore. I mean, everything's gone to terrible flab, Judith. I mean, I've got a lot of work to do. I really have. The physio's been quite strict with me. She's 80 this year and she's in better nick than I am. I mean, I feel so embarrassed. I know you sort of said you had to go and see a young physio and he was male and you had stripped out your bra. Well, I'm with the fittest 80-year-old, you know, and I just sit there in a fug of fat shame.
A fug of fat shame, that's a very good phrase.
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
And she's just sprightly and she wears, you know, those tiny, minute Muji cardigans that are for minute Asian girls and
like
boys.
Sort of ballerina type things.
Absolutely. It's not tie round, it's just button up, but it's a little grey Muji cardigan.
Ooh, really?
And it's so tiny, everything's so tiny.
Why'd you go to her?
I can't go to the physio, so can I have a nice beefy one, please?
Well, I think
can you get me the fattest physio that you have? But my sciatica has been getting me down, and there have been days where it's been really hard just walking, Judith. And I think about you striding over the moors in Cornwall and up on your cliff top walks and all that, and dragging Poppy hither and thither. And I think, I'm quite jealous because I'm sort of a bit staggery sometimes.
Well, I haven't had an operation, have I? And I think if I hadn't been able to do something... Oh, listen, my fitness would go down like a stone. I'm sure it would, very, very quickly.
I hope so.
I'm not going to just put it to the test, but yeah.
No, I don't think I think it's been so religious and rigorous for so long. I think it would take a lot longer than it took me to go downhill. I really
probably
do.
Not that long. But
no, I do. Well, obviously, yeah. You're older, anyway. So you know.
Yeah, all right. You had to get that in, didn't you? Yeah, always get that in. Anyway, so what are you allowed to do then now?
Well,
I'm
gigging. Well, it'll be tonight because this podcast goes out on Friday.
I can't believe you're back on the road so quickly.
Well, I know, but you know, neither can my physio. My surgeon's a little bit concerned, but we had a phone chat.
So am I. So are we.
Yeah. And he said if the sciatica keeps being a bit of a problem, he'll give me injection in my spine, so that's nice. I get quite excited about these things now. I think you could get very addicted to procedures. I think
procedures, that's a terrible word. A procedure,
addicted to procedures. I think I think people do, Judith. I mean, I think that's why. Yeah, people who go under the knife without reason, without needing
bonkers, to. Isn't it? That is bonkers now, really.
It just seems to be the most extraordinary thing, you know, all the sort of plastic surgery people have done, where basically they're under general anaesthetic.
Yeah.
Are mucked about with for hours on end.
Big time. I mean, even dental work, even that kind of, you know, cosmetic dental work, I'm not sure. I'm up even for that.
Well, I look at my teeth and I think, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I agree with you on the procedures. Some procedures, maybe. And some procedures. I tell you what, I don't mind a procedure if they give you some of that liquid Valium stuff that I've talked about before.
Valium?
Yes, we've talked about this before. Keep up. So I had a colonoscopy. We will continue because we have got quite a following of hypochondriacs, I think.
Oh,
so,
God. Do you know what? I don't know what else they listen for, to be honest. They're not listening for fashion tips, Judith. Despite whatever you say on our Instagram account in your white hooded anorak where you think Judith might be a fashion influencer and some of us beg to differ. But I think hypochondria, we're in safer
waters.
We kind of know what we're talking about.
I think we're amongst friends.
No,
if you have a colonoscopy or one of those one of those procedures that involve discomfort, you know, it could be uncomfortable, which you know is going to be
fucking agony, screaming agony, torture.
They give you something called liquid Valium, which means that you, I've told you about it before, it means that you forget it, you feel the pain, but you forget it instantly.
Does it come in one of those little paper cups?
It's injected. I see.
Yes. Well, maybe I have had it then.
I think you
and they just haven't just described it. We'll give you a little, you know, a little prick in your mouth
something
and you all go, ha, 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 ha.
Oh, no, you won't have had, because somebody has to drive you home. No, you would know. No, it's...
Okay.
But anyway, what I'm saying is that procedures, I would say the word procedure for me is a little bit of a red flag. It's...
How much liquid Valium am I allowed?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So I'm not sure, unless that's involved, I could get addicted to them. But but I think you're braver than me, Jenny. I do actually think you're quite a lot braver than me. I think, you know, if we were in that sort of emergency situation,
I've got a streak of my dad in me.
I think you have.
My dad was an incredibly... I can't talk about my dad because I suddenly want to cry. Oh, God.
Oh.
But he was an incredibly brave man. And he saved a man's life once. Drowning. And he jumped out of aeroplanes. And he was, an incredible, incredible... And then once he retired from the army, just didn't do anything more exciting than golf for a very long time.
Well, I think he was
as if he'd had all his adventure in a very short space of time. And it was very sort of acute... And then when it stopped, he couldn't kind of even go near anything sort of remotely dangerous again. I don't know. It's very odd. But there we go. So how's your COVID situation in your area?
Oh, it's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. I mean, I don't know about you, but there's so many people in the village with it. Poor old Sienna's had it. And, you know, she's really, really pregnant. She's about 32 weeks. So
she's
that's
doing very
worry.
Well. She's hanging on to those babies.
How's she feeling now?
Because, I knew that she'd had it, told me last week. And I've been thinking about her a lot.
Oh, bless you.
I'm just hoping it was a really mild case.
Well, it hasn't been that mild. I mean, it's lasted a good week. And I saw her on the doorstep on Sunday. I was itching to go in, obviously.
Yeah.
And she was very good. She said, no, you can't. She just looked washed out. Absolutely washed out. But she's turned a corner. Yesterday she sent me a message saying, I feel loads better. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
So she's
yeah.
back on the spreadsheet, I noticed. Actually, I didn't need to send her a WhatsApp yesterday to say you're feeling better, because she was back on the spreadsheet.
Okay, now which spreadsheet is this? Because I feel like you have two spreadsheets on the go at the moment, Judith. One is twins and Sienna's pregnancy spreadsheet, and the other one is Ellen's wedding spreadsheet.
Oh, yes. Now, that one, I have to say, I've got to watch this, actually. Yes, Ellen's spreadsheet is rather in abeyance. I'd say it's pending, and yeah, okay. very much, yeah. I think
Ellen's being very good then, because she's allowing Sienna to hog the spreadsheet time at the moment, which is kind of fair enough, considering, you know, these babies are on their way.
Yes, but I think there'll come a point where spreadsheets will have to be swapped. So currently, Sienna's spreadsheet, basically my job at the moment is WhatsApping or targeting. I'm going to use the word targeting. Targeting people who might be up for a decent, you know, ticking one of the things on the list that are quite sizable, other than fluffy toys and baby grows. Subtly saying, oh, by the way, we're having a baby shower, you know.
But do they get invited to an event?
Yes, they do. Yeah. So it's happening here. Yeah, happening here.
Christ, Judith. How many people?
Well, I don't think there'll be a great deal of people, actually. And actually, a lot of them will come with bibbies. I think her contemporaries who've got babies, who are now most of them, to be honest. So I think there might be quite a lot. And I think Prosecco's involved and, you know, all of that. And I think it's all a bit...
Not for Sienna.
Obviously not for Sienna. Well, maybe a bit.
I mean, when is this... Because, I mean, you must be a bit on standby now if she's 32 weeks.
Yes, yeah.
I saw my friend yesterday, Kelly Shirley, my actress friend that I did Panto with, and she was my Cinderella and I was her fairy godmother. And we remained really close since. And she had twins 6 years ago. She got to 36 weeks.
Did she?
They're six now, and you know, the time goes. And she showed me some photos, and of course, they're boy girl twins, and they're absolutely delightful. And I've always been, you know, I saw them the day they were born, and they really haven't sort of changed in some respects. It's weird. So anyway, you guys, so exciting, Judith. I can't tell you. I cannot wait for those twins to be born. I really cannot.
I am getting excited. Yes, to see them and to see Sienna as a mum. I mean, I think that I'm excited about that too.
I'd be a bit anxious about that. I don't think she'd be the falling to pieces type, though. I think that Sienna will just crack on with it. I really do.
I think she will, but I think she'll find it bloody tough. But anyway.
I'm just so glad she's recovering from COVID. I really am. I mean, I didn't know they still pinged.
I don't know whether it is still a word, isn't it? Anyway, I went to a wonderful art class last week in Cornwall.
So jealous. So jealous of this. I can barely speak for jealousy.
I suppose because you haven't been able to go to one for ages, no?
No, not a live art class. No. They don't seem to be sort of, you know, they're all online still, which is absolutely fine, but there is nothing better
than
being in a studio or a sort of church hall or any space where people are doing the same thing together. So go on, tell me about the art class.
Oh, it's wonderful. So in Kingsand, which is the local kind of village, she's called Louise Courtnell, and she's kind of a caricature almost of an artist of our age. Really would quite like to be her. And she lives in a little hut on the side of the cliff. And she does apparently in the summer kind of open air. You know, anyone can go along, take their easel and paint the landscape.
Well, does she charge, though? She charges.
Yeah, she charges. Yes, good. Yeah, and her paintings are beautiful, and she's also very good at portraits, and she's been in the National Portrait Gallery. But and then on a Friday night, you can go into the church hall, and it's a walk-in session, and you pay 12 quid. And I did one of those, and so we were doing a tonal exercise.
I find those very hard.
Well, I was quite pleased with what I did, actually, but she did it just in emulsions, the way she was taught. So you just literally had black emulsion and white emulsion.
Okay. Big brushes. Are we talking big brushes?
Oh, quite big brushes. Basically a jug.
Like painting and decorating brushes.
Oh, no. Well, no, you aren't big. But sort of bold and but also quite exacting. I loved it. I really, really loved it.
And what was the still life setup?
Oh, it was just a jug, but quite an interesting jug on a sheet, but well lit. You know, sometimes...
So you got very definite shadow.
Yes,
because sometimes I look at a thing and people say, well, where's the light coming in? And I think, I fucking haven't got a clue.
Yes, you can't.
It's like bouncing all over the place. I can't tell.
Yeah. And it was quite definite. So that made it easier, but I loved it. Anyway, one of the people there was, you know, obviously caught COVID. So I got a text from Louise. But it was so nice, actually, to do something in Cornwall and kind of feel a little bit part of the community. And mind you, I noticed that they all went to the pub afterwards and didn't ask me, Jenny.
Yeah, were you the only one that wasn't asked, Judith? Or was it just young people?
No,
you
weren't.
So right, okay, okay. So basically some young people who probably knew each other already went to the pub and didn't bother to ask the old farts.
No, well, there's a surprise, I suppose. I was quite hungry anyway, to be honest. I wouldn't have been able to concentrate. But no, I really enjoyed that.
And I bet it was one of the youngsters that had COVID. And you sat next to them trying to get all chummy and all that kind of thing. So, you know, maybe it's a good thing at the end of the day.
You know me very well.
Yeah, and you'd had to drive home anyway, so you couldn't have any booze. Yeah, so what's the point? Yeah, get home, get your tea, lovely.
Exactly, exactly. So, but you did one of Martin Kinnear's, the lovely Martin Kinnear's workshops. I saw a gorgeous painting, actually.
Well, that's very kind. I just painted along on the iPad. I mean, we've just got to get back in the swing of it. And I've been experimenting with chalks as well, Judith. I bought myself some chalk pastel. Mm. And I may just say now, it's a good job there are no carpets in this house, because fuck me, does it make a mess.
Oh, I bet
chalk pastel. You don't want to do it anywhere near a carpet. You just would never get it up again. But I left this just a cloud of chalk dust all over the place. Fortunately, lovely Lucy, the cleaner, has come back.
Good. Yeah. Phew. Now,
she doesn't speak any English, so I think I'm very safe in saying this.
Right,
and it's a slight dilemma, but it's a snob dilemma, and we've decided to get over it and not be such twats.
Right.
She bought us an orchid, which was so heavily dyed. It was so heavily dyed. I don't know how it's managed to survive. And I don't know when they do the dyeing of the orchids. You know, like orchids have natural colour.
Yes.
And then some places decide, well, they're going to enhance the natural colour.
I didn't realise that, actually. Oh.
Well, they can't breed them like that, Judith.
No,
they
it's what colour was it? Bright pink, bright purple.
Right, it's a combination of purple and pink.
Oh, right. Ooh.
It's like a kind of LSD kind of orchid thing. And, of course, you know, Jeff, who's a bit of a purist when it comes to colour, sort of has had to swallow hard, but I'm quite admiring because, you know, he's not hidden it. It's there, it is proud, and we've decided that we love Lucy so much we're displaying it. And but, of course, now and again, in an idle moment, I'm Googling how to poison...
A long time, don't they?
They can go on for years. I tell you that. But anyway, so you know,
put it right on the windowsill so it doesn't get so it gets a bit shriveled.
It's so sweet of her, and we're so lucky to have her and so pleased to have her, and you know, so there we go. Right, so very odd dreams, and I know it's boring talking about dreams, but I think it's you talking about Sienna. But I had this dream the other night, Judith, that was so real and so terrifying. I had a baby, right? I had a baby and I had nothing prepared for it. It was a bit like real life. No, it wasn't. But I found a grotty old baby growing. There wasn't even a vest to go underneath it. And this poor little baby just with its bare chest underneath this baby grow.
Oh.
And trying to scramble around, find some old nappies. And there was nappies Phoebe had, but they were a cross between the nappies Phoebe had and the dressings I'd been using for the back of my neck. And then I realised this poor baby, I couldn't breastfeed. I knew even in the dream that I was too old to breastfeed. So I thought, oh, fucking hell, I'm going to have to go out and get some bottles and some formula.
Gosh.
And I took the baby with me and I had nothing to hang it, you know, to put it in, no sling, no... I was just holding this baby and, of course, I've got this weak left arm. And as I reached across with the change on my card for the formula and the bottles, I dropped the baby. I dropped the baby And I dropped it on its head, and the bang of the baby's head on the chemist floor woke me up.
Oh,
it was
God.
So real.
It was real, wasn't it?
It literally was so terrifyingly real.
But
I
also
can't
quite straightforward. I mean, really, not terribly. It doesn't take much kind of what's the
well,
word?
I'm not
analysis,
pregnant.
Does it?
No. But you must have been. I must have been thinking of you. I must have been. It must have been. You know, when you told me about Sienna, I must. I don't know. Yeah. It must have been in my head. But there we go.
Weird. And I had a similarly literal dream, funnily enough, after the art class, because the woman Louise has got this very long, sort of grey curly hair. And
she's like a proper artist. She's like a proper Cornish artist. It's probably a wig. She's probably just wearing the Cornish artist wig.
Beautiful.
You can buy them. You can
beautiful
buy them. You get a smock and a wig.
But I dreamt that it was Ellen's wedding and I couldn't find my outfit. Either I haven't got it or I couldn't find it anywhere. But my hair had turned into Louise's hair, so I'd got long, kind of grey hair. But then I'd got the black emulsion that we were doing for the exercise all over it. I couldn't find anything
brilliant
smart to
I'd
wear.
Love to
I
see
couldn't
you
find
with black
any
hair
shoes. Always in a right mess, and Ellen was furious with me.
Oh, this is brilliant. Have you actually started looking for a mother of a bride?
No, I really, and I need it. I don't know that I will go to a sort of mother in the bride thing again.
No,
like
I think you should. I think you should avoid
it
because it's so expensive. And do you ever get to wear it again?
Never. I shall never be that thin again. So I'm not going to go on a stupid diet, and I'm not going to buy. I'm just going to be a bit more comfortable. Going to be a bit more good.
Yeah, you've done that once. Doesn't need to be done again.
Yeah.
I mean, you did look fabulous. I mean, the thing
could you dye the
outfit? Could you sort of? There's not. It was quite dark, wasn't it? What colour was
it? Doesn't fit me. I can't even begin to get it on.
We could put a contrasting panel in.
I've thought about that. I've actually thought about that. But yes, it's we're not talking letting out scenes. We're talking.
Talking about adding great
it's a write-off,
big scenes it's a write-off of material. Yeah, I've got you. Okay.
Never mind.
Well, you know, I'm similarly in. Clothes. I don't know what people do. I don't know how people find stuff. I don't know where to go. I'm good, Judith. I'm good at knowing where stuff is from. In fact, this is how fucking good I am, right? Because I've done a lot of research on tops. I mean, let's face it, you have to worry about trousers as well because you've got thin legs and you can wear trousers. I just have to sort of get away with some elasticated waist trousers. But fortunately, COS have had some good new ones. And they're sort of, if you're looking them up, they say they're culottes, but they're long. They're very long. For me, they're right down to the ankle because I've got a short leg. Short, fat leg. Terrible. I am the Ernie. We are of the Morecambe and Wise of us. Physically, you are Eric Morecambe with the long, long leg. And I am the short, fat, hairy leg of Ernie Wise. So for me, it's all got to be about the top, the sort of, you know, that's where the glamour has to come in, the bit of oomph.
What are you looking for? Why are you looking for outfits?
Drawers off, second series of drawers off. So
yay!
I have to have a sort of, there are 4 weeks of a programme. So, and I've got to have the same outfit on every week, right, which is a bit of a drag. So it's four outfits, yes.
Right.
I've done a lot of research online and then I sort of looked at Zara, because they only give me a tiny budget. So I just thought, I'll buy a load of stuff from Zara. So I bought a load of stuff from Zara and I didn't really look at the scale of the size because, you know, it's all European. I just sort of I just thought, well, I'll be a large. I'll be a large will do. Well, I'm not. A 14 in a Zara is an extra large, right?
Oh, how stupid.
Well, it's annoying, you know,
ridiculous.
Because basically they're catering to the tiny, tiny European lady. You know, the 16-year-old French girl or Italian girl or Spanish girl.
Oh, that's
the teeny, I couldn't get my arms down the fucking slide. Please, they were like twigs. And then, you know, I bought, just out of, because of a sudden rush of blood to the head, I've bought a medium tunic that fitted perfectly, but it was falling to pieces and the threads hanging off it. So I sent everything back and I went to the shop. Yeah. Take everything back in the end because it was the online return system just beat me.
Oh, do you know, I think they do that on purpose. Oh. I've got one going back and it's scan this with your smartphone
Judith, I got a migraine. I had to go to bed for 2 hours.
Much better to take it to the shop. I can't.
And I just thought, I'll just do the King's Road. I'll find some stuff in the car. Found absolutely nothing. My satka was
really
playing up. There was a point in Peter Jones where I nearly lay on the floor. and cried because I just thought this is just. And Bowden had nothing but the scrap ends of the sale. As it happens, I've ordered something online from Bowden. It's the new stuff because, of course, the sale stuff, it's only in either a size 26 or a size 6.
Oh, of course it is, or a size 6. Exactly,
Absolutely.
Now, have you watched Junior Bake Off?
No.
Right, okay. Because the woman who's presenting it, I think she's called Ravneet Gill, she has got the most gorgeous top on. And I don't often think, oh, I wonder whether she got that top. Have a look. It's a sort of brightly coloured kind of...
is it this week's Children's Bake Off? Well, I'm so good. Yes. Get this, Judith. This is what I intended to tell you right from the start. I've done so much research and looked at so many labels over the last, you know, couple of weeks. I was watching The Great Pottery Throwdown, and it's presented by a girl called Ellie Taylor at the moment while Siobhan's getting over a broken leg. And she was wearing a top, and I said to Jeff, that top is from Lisou, spelled L-I-S-O-U. Very expensive label, beautiful stuff. And it's that top that she's wearing, that the green geometric, is 250 quid. 250 quid.
Really?
So her budget, yeah, unless she got it in sale or else she's on a sort of deal with them or something, which
she
might be
actually,
because she's a very, very good-looking girl. Yeah. And they might think, well, you know, it's she's worth lending some clobber to. But she is in a splatter environment. You know, it's not a top you're probably going to be able to get. She's going to get a bit of clay on it if she's not careful.
She is, isn't she? She is.
So anyway, yes. And I just
Think you should look at Junior Bake Off then. I think you should look at hers.
Okay, right. I'll see if I recognise it because I have done a fuck ton of research. I'm
but
not going to lie,
annoying.
Judith.
How annoying.
I can't afford £250 for a top.
No, that's ridiculous.
You know, then... I'm looking to the back of my own wardrobe and I'm just sort of collating some stuff just in case. But it's hard work, I have to say. It's hard
it
work.
It does sound hard work, I must say. If you will be
work.
On the telly. I'm so pleased about Draws Off, Jenny. That's very, very good news.
Yes, I'm pleased too. I am pleased. Yeah, it's got a lot of tweets as well. By the way, if anybody wants to enter, because I think the last series, a lot of people were put off by the fact that the painters were also the life models. This time, they do not have to take their kit off. They are not the life models. The life models are professional life models who will probably feel a lot more relaxed about doing it. Some of the painters really genuinely did not mind. I'd say one or two sort of had a couple of problems with it. But, you know, it was an interesting experiment, but that bit of the experiment is over. And it's very open to amateur painters. There is no derobing involved. You are just there to paint. So
brilliant.
You can look it up. It's called Draws Off.
I'm so pleased.
It's multimedia. Multi-story media. Oh, fuck. We are so bad at this, Judith, aren't we? We're so bad. Okay, so let's turn now to Culture Corner.
Nicely linked.
Very professional. Well, we're rambling now. Let's give Daisy a break. Okay, I'm going to kick off with The Tourist.
I have
completed The Tourist, which is, you know, sometimes, because there are quite a lot of these series that are sort of land on the television channels and you can watch them all. And some I've given up on halfway through and just not got back into.
Yeah. I know
I've done
mean.
The Tourist. I feel like I've achieved something.
Me too.
What did you think? Well, I got a bit confused in the middle. I have to say,
it got complicated.
They do that all the time, basically to fox you. So you just give up on sort of chasing all the loose threads that are actually there and present themselves as a kind of, well, that doesn't really make any sense. What I did like about The Tourist, what I did find satisfying is I really did enjoy the last episode and I liked what he found out about himself, which I'm not going to say now because people, I found that satisfying that he put the pieces of his past together and realised, you know, who he had been. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes.
And I think the traffic cop actress, and I'm ashamed I don't know her name.
Wasn't she great?
Career-changing
performance. Yeah, I loved her. And that relationship that she had with that horrible, controlling boyfriend, fiancé.
Yeah, the fiancé.
Yeah, yeah. But I've got to tell you what, I've got a bit of a crush on Jamie Dornan. I know you don't really go in for crushes, do you? But I must say... Oh, yes. Did you notice his sort of rippled, muscly back?
I can sort of aesthetically... I can find him aesthetically pleasing, but I cannot fancy younger men. I find it...
No, I can. I can in my head.
I can't even do it in my head because I sort of... I like them. I like watching them in bed with other people. But if I insert myself into the scenario, it all suddenly unravels and just becomes really something. Oh, there's that fucking clock. Something really appalling. I know you're in Oxfordshire. You're not in Cornwall by that clock.
Indeed.
But I just hope that in the future there are more sort of... I'm not going to call her chubby because she's not, but she's not, the traffic cop actress.
Well, she was insecure, wasn't she?
Yeah,
worried
and that
about
relationship, you're right, about between the two of them was really special.
It was special, and you didn't expect it to happen, and it was changing for both of them.
Yeah.
And for that reason, I thought it was, it's great. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. It was a bit complicated in the last episode.
It was one of those ones. I had to put the wine down. I had to put my, I was on the second glass of wine. I had to think, no, I'm going to have to put that down until I've done this hour.
Concentrate, Jenny.
I've got to concentrate. It's like having a drink halfway through an exam. You think, no, I can't do this sum. We've got quite a few of the old programmes of returning this new
Dragon's
year.
Yes, Dragon's Den. Are you watching Dragon's Den?
I think it's a sort of one of those ones where, when you don't have to concentrate too much, you can drift in and out of it.
Yeah.
And some of the potential... contestants. They're much more interesting than others. So I sort of drift in and out. And they've got the new dragon, Stephen Bartlett.
Oh, he's tremendous.
You mean Dishy? Again, that's another one.
I do
one
mean
fancy.
Dishy, actually. Yes,
he's Dishy, as is the new apprentice chap.
Yes, I agree. I was always a big fan of Claude, but no, I'm over Claude now.
Well, I've met Claude. I've never seen anyone in a cleaner shirt. I've never met anyone
Is that right?
So groomed.
Ooh,
actually, there's a few of those older men on telly that I've met where I just think, God, you smell nice. Your shirts are beautiful. You're so laundered. You sort of come to the conclusion that you're not kind of cute anymore, but you are going to be groomed.
And that works, doesn't it?
Nick as well from Countdown that doesn't do Countdown. Nick Hewer, he's another one.
Is
groomed. It? Oh, beautiful. You know, he'd never have any wax in his ears. He'd never have a stray hair coming out of his nose. It's just, very, very, very attractive.
Find that. Somebody was a bit better groomed. There you go. We can't have everything. The only thing about The Apprentice is I must say that I don't know that I can be arsed with it, this series.
Okay.
The contestants are just they are uniformly, it seems, irritating.
It's peculiar that they have searched so far and wide and found such a number of numbskulls.
It's a good word.
It really, really beggared belief. I actually found it very funny. And I know that you didn't find Alan Sugar's jokes very good, but I thought someone was doing some really good scripted jokes for him.
Are you serious?
I did. I thought there were some good punchlines. Maybe... I don't know what was wrong with me when I was watching it, but I quite appreciated some of those. I thought, someone's trying here, and I have to say the turd logo, I'm sorry if you haven't seen it, everybody, but it's one of the challenges, and they did the worst logo I've ever seen for anything that
was bad,
remotely meant to be nautical. It was so bad. That really made me laugh out loud.
I love it when the experts are subjected to the, to the pitches. I mean, the pitches in those two cases were just absolutely toe-curling, weren't they?
You
see all their faces.
Bad.
Their faces are just thinking, these people are supposed to be,
the creme de la creme.
They are,
Had they given the girls all those ridiculous dresses?
Yes,
they'd all kitted them out the same.
I wondered. It was like, they must have done, because they all had...
It was an
identikit
thing, those awful bodycon dresses that I hate more than anything else. Awful.
No,
apart from the girl the girl with the sort of headscarf who was refusing to play along with that.
Yeah, it was extraordinary. It was, and they weren't, those horrible sort of cheap... figure hugging,
yes,
short sleeved, yeah, pencil
awful
kind of
body
color. And they all were given a different color. It is extraordinary. I think it must be a strange production decision.
I think
very
it was
weird.
A strange production, but also it was at their expense. They were sort of playing a joke on one of them who got the green one, because of course when it was put on a green screen, her dress disappeared.
Oh, yes.
You know, it was all that kind of, there was a bit of malice aforethought there, I think. Anyway, listen,
you're very Shakespearean today, aren't you, numbskulling and malice aforethoughting? Get you.
I'm going to wax lyrical on something now, Judith, and I don't think you've had time to watch it. I don't know whether you have Disney Plus. I wasn't aware we had Disney Plus, but Jeff admitted, because you know he's got a cartoon fetish.
Yeah,
73-year-old man, he loves animation. He fucking loves it. Okay. You know, all the weird stuff, all the Japanese stuff and all that sort of thing. But he loves a bit of Disney as well. Anyway, we watched the Beatles documentary. We haven't got to the end of it yet. Get Back. And I thought that I've never been that interested in the Beatles music. I've always been more of a Stones girl, but I found it absolutely spellbinding.
There's about 5 hours of it, isn't there?
Oh, there's more than that. I think it's about about nine. And nothing happens, but everything does. It's sort of like in the slow motion, kind of the minutiae of stuff reveals itself, and this sort of toxic, sour relationship between the four boys that sort of it's all gone sour and spoiled. And then, you know, they move studios and they're a bit happier. And John and Paul, when they sing together, this love that flares, this ignition of this passion that, and it's just, oh God, it
wow.
I find it so emotional. And, you know, Yoko's like a hawk on John's shoulder, and you can't put a fag paper between them. She just will, honestly, she's
marking him like in netball.
It was like the best netball defence. What was it? Back defence.
I've seen it. We did in Cornwall. We've got it for some reason. I don't know how. And we watched about half an hour of it. And I know what you mean. I don't know whether I'm committed enough to carry on, but there's a sort of rawness about it because it's not really cut in the way that everything that we normally see is. You know, it's not cut
and it's
for
been
impact.
So beautifully reimagined or whatever they've done. They've tidied it up so much visually.
Yeah.
So it's as fresh as a daisy. It looks
it
like
is.
It was made yesterday. And that's something that I find heartbreaking because these men are either dead or aging
I know.
And you're seeing them living, breathing as sort of, you know, 25 to 30-year-olds because George Harrison was younger. And I find it incredibly emotional. And there's a very good piece in the Times last week, which is behind a paywall, because guess what, everybody? Paywalls pay the journalists to fucking write. So sorry about that. I know it's infuriating for people, but how do you expect us to get paid otherwise? So anyway, the Times article, obviously behind a paywall, is about some of the bit players that appear in that film.
Who are very constantly
they're there sort of, you know, with the boys all the time. So there's a big roadie with glasses, big clumsy sort of 6'5" bloke, and it transpires that in later life, you know, when the Beatles split up and he was no longer working for them, he'd given years of his life to the band, and you know, drink, drugs. He was with a girlfriend in America in a hotel room, and he got very drunk, drugs, all that sort of thing. Started waving gun around. She phones the police, and they come in. They shoot the hell out. They kill him.
No.
And there's loads of sort of tragic ends to this sort of bubble of people that were sort of thrown together over a certain time.
Gosh.
That adds another layer
another
to the story
level of sadness,
and the revelation
really.
Yoko had had a miscarriage 5 weeks before the filming of Get Back. And it was another reason why she was so clingy to John.
I think she was probably clingy anyway, though, wasn't she?
But you know, we were indoctrinated to hate Yoko from very early age.
That is very true.
Racism and sexism in there, and you know, she was Japanese, she was a foreigner, she was this, she was that.
It was a bit Meg Markle-esque, actually, wasn't it? That mood.
It was
actually.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's, looking back, we have to re-examine. I mean, she was. But Paul actually says in the film, in 50 years' time, people will laugh at the idea that Yoko broke up the band just because she sat on an amp.
God.
He actually says that, or something to, you know, like
that's
that.
That's very clever, isn't it?
He's so clever, and he works so hard. The admiration I now have Oh, yeah. Now, because I, you know, this is, I thought, great, he's great, Paul McCartney. Obviously, he's unarguable. But watching that, I just realised what a Trojan he was. What an absolute workhorse.
Just before we leave Yoko and Marking John like netball, it's reminded me of... you know, all those days when I sort of did those talk shows, there were quite often a few wives, showbiz wives, that were like that.
Really?
And I'm just, I've just remembered Frankie Vaughan. Remember Frankie Vaughan?
Yeah.
He had a wife. So they'd come along to be on a show and she'd be right there, you know, she'd be following him around. And then you'd say, oh, well, I'm just going to take, you know, Frankie off to make up. Oh, well, I'll come.
Yeah, she didn't trust you, Judith, because you were there with your shoulder pads and your sheer spotted tights and your good hosiery already. Ready for a quick one down the corridor.
Any of the makeup girls, because that used to happen quite a lot of makeup girls.
Because they're so understanding, makeup girls. They're a special breed. They're like nurses, but with makeup.
Yeah, exactly. And their bust is right into you, isn't it?
Absolutely. They all smell nice. You can't have BO and be a makeup girl. So that's all good. Maybe it's time we got on to books.
Yes. I'm making quite slow progress, but I'm very much enjoying Sorrow and Bliss by Meg Mason. And we talked about it last week, didn't we? But it's lovely, actually, and it's nicely performed by Amelia Phlox. I'm really enjoying that when I'm cooking and faffing on. And
it's a sort of slow burn of a book. And you sort of, sometimes I think you have to sort of look underneath its skin to realise quite how clever it is and how important
it's nicely written.
All the things
very
it's saying.
Written.
I really liked it. I did. You know, it's not my best book of last year, but it's in the top 10.
Oh, okay.
And I think Amelia Phlox is a brilliant narrator of books. Weirdly, Jeff and I have got a mad Agatha Christie. Agatha Christie's worst book, The Man in the Brown Suit, which she either wrote when she was very young, very old, or quite pissed. It's the craziest Agatha Christie bit of nonsense. It's half set on boats and Rhodesia and the Rand, and it's this, you know, some evil colonel. It's bonkers. It makes no sense at all.
Sounds like it might be a bit lazy.
No, she's gone overboard. She's gone overboard. And just, I really must do some research as to which end of her career she wrote this, because she either wrote it when she didn't know what she was doing or she wrote it when she was completely losing it. But Amelia Phlox is doing such a beautiful narration job. I mean, Jeff and I are just hooked because she's doing all the voices. It's a tour de force. Wonderful. And the other thing I've got on Audible at the moment is Anxious People, which not many people have heard of, but they will have heard of the writer Frederick Backman's other book, who wrote the best-selling Man Called Ove, which was a big hitter a couple of years ago. Swedish, not really my thing, but I like and admire it. And it dares to be very obviously funny, but also have a point and makes these emotional points while sort of making quite a lot of puns and wisecracks.
But it works in translation, obviously.
It does. And it scores very highly on in the reviews. And I mean, I'm glad that I will have it under my belt. I'm not sure I'd seek out any more of the books of his work, but and apparently it's out on Netflix as a drama, though once you've read the book, there seems little point in watching the screen version because all has been revealed. But and I think a lot of our readers would actually really like it because it's very easy to listen to and there's no complicated sort of storyline. It's a sort of very straightforward thing, and it's admirable. No, it's really, it's touching and funny and nearly my cup of tea, but not quite. But I'm enjoying, it's like having the occasional cup of Lapsang Souchong, where you just go, So yes, I'm glad I'm listening to it. It's called, just a reminder of the title, and again, it's called Anxious People. So that's us with our culture corner. We've done quite a lot in Hypochondriacs Corner. Oh, there was a good email. We're talking about Hypochondriacs Corner, Judith. Can you find that email?
Yes, I can. Here we are. Steph wrote to us, 63 and a half. Very good. And she says, here's one for Hypochondriacs Corner. Glad you're being enthusiastic about that, Steph. She says, I've developed a gristly lump on the side of my wrist where my overlarge blingy watch. sometimes digs in. I'm claiming it is a, and then she puts this in capitals, a ganglion.
She's got a ganglion. It sounds like a ganglion to me. Yeah, it does. You know how to get rid of a ganglion?
Oh,
they're gristly lumps. They're gristly lumps. Gristly lumps often on the side of the wrist. You've got to bang them with a Bible. That's what you've got to do. That's how you get rid of a ganglion. You bang it with a Bible. That's a traditional way of getting rid of a ganglion.
Wow.
So thank you very much. For yes. that. And just one more on the that's quite hypochondriacal, Judith. This is from Natalie. She's 40 and a half. And she said that the syringes I was given post-operation sound like lactulose. Years ago, she had chronic pain with a trapped nerve, became very predictably constipated with the otherwise lovely painkillers. No laxative worked. When I hit 2 weeks of no-show, Jesus.
Blimey.
2 weeks. The doctor gave her a large bottle of lactulose, told me to take it steady, 2 spoonfuls a day, but I thought I knew best. Anyway, there follows a very graphic account where she basically is watching Call the Midwife and feels like she's having her own baby. And it is so huge, what she's about to expel from her body, that her mother's hand appeared around the laboratory door with a knife and the words, "You might need this." She was right. I still can't slice cheddar cheese without thinking of that gruesome task.
God. Yes.
Yes. Anyway, the knife was disposed of and was never put in the dishwasher. Knife was never used for any other purpose again.
Phew.
So that's good. It's a grim and cautionary tale. Follow the dosage instructions.
Oh. I must say, I've been looking at Mike's long-handled shoehorn with new eyes. Do you know what? I might take that idea away behind my ear in case.
It needs greasing. You need that and a bottle. You need that and a jar of Vaseline. That's what you need.
Oh, dear. We are a bit of an acquired taste, aren't we?
Aren't we? Anyway, if you're still listening, it's lovely. Yeah. It's lovely you're still there. Well done. Well done, everybody listening.
Indeed.
For those that sort of bottled out about 5 minutes ago, sorry you missed the end of the show. We'll be back next week.
I'm afraid we probably will be. Yes. Well, good luck with the top buying.
I want to
know about that.
Yes.
And,
Good luck with Poppy and her leg and Sienna and, you know, all that kind of thing. And, you know, keep us in the loop. And I want that picture of the jug you did up on
Yes, okay. I'll put it on.
Okay.
Lovely. Nice to talk to you, Jenny.
Lovely to talk to you. I enjoyed that very much. And thank you, Daisy, for joining us. And we will speak again. Just how many people enjoyed the words Frank and Nesta Boff from last week? It was such a reminder of such a
back,
sort of time in our lives. Frank and Nesta Boff. Thanks for that, Judith. We will speak soon. Take care, everybody, and lots of love.
Bye, gang. Love you, Jenny. Toodle-pip.